In Nehemiah chapter 8, we read this. Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. In Psalm 19, it says, the precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. Galatians 5, it says, but the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. We jump back to Psalms 95. It says, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Lord, we thank you because in you there is joy. Lord, even when things are tough, even when we're grieving, even when things aren't going the way that we want them to go, Lord, we know that in you we can find joy. Lord, so for those that are doing it tough, Lord, for those that are struggling to find that joy, would you just give them a glimpse of your joy today? Lord, we praise you, Lord, because you are wonderful. Praise you, Lord, because of your healing power. We praise you, Lord, because you have gifted surgeons and nurses and doctors and scientists and medical professionals with wonderful gifts of healing. Holy Spirit, come and refresh each one of us, we pray, in your name. Amen.
Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that the sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. But whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction.
We're told in life that it's unfair to compare ourselves to others. But when the Olympics are on, and we see the best of the best competing, it's possible that we do our own comparing just a little bit. The Olympics. Who stayed up late last night watching? Some pretty incredible. We've already seen in just, they technically started 24 hours ago, but in just a few short days, we've already seen history made. These Olympics, for the first time ever, have the same amount of men and women competing. Over 10,000 athletes and an equal amount of men and women competing. There's a shooter from I don't know where he's from. I forgot to write it down. Georgia? I don't know, somewhere. I don't know. There's a shooter. His name's Nico. You know, him. This is his 10th straight Olympics. 10 straight Olympics. We've seen Emma McKinnon? McKinnon? You know, the swimmer. Yeah. She last night won her 6th gold medal, the most by any Australian athlete ever. Titmus, she was the first woman last night in 96 years to win back-to-back gold medals in the 400 metres swimming. 96 years it's taken for a lady to win back-to-back medals in that event. And once again, I'm going home empty-handed from the Olympics. Didn't get the call up. Once again. It's amazing what these athletes can do. Some people would say that these athletes are superhuman. It's pretty cool to be able to perform with the ability that these athletes have. I was watching some of the diving yesterday afternoon. 3 meters springboard, they jump in the air a couple of meters, somersault, dive in. That's incredible what they can do. But yet when we compare ourselves to others, it often sets us up for a fall. There will always be others that can do something better or different to what we can do. Yet God has given us all special personalities and special abilities to enrich the lives of others and His kingdom. He has a reason for all of us being here, and we all have a role to fulfill in the kingdom of God. We're reminded in the Psalms that we are all fearfully and wonderfully made. And this psalm that Emma read for us in Psalm chapter 1, we see that God compares two things in people. We see that what the outcome of our lifestyle decisions brings. We see that God is interested in whether we have a right relationship with Him or not. The question the psalmist uses here is, are we righteous? Or have we turned our back on God, and are we called wicked? Now, perhaps today the word wicked means something different to what it used to. You see, some of these young whippersnappers that are around, people like Chloe over there, young whippersnappers, they might use wicked as a term that talks about being really cool or perhaps stylish. Or really, really good, you know. They might say, oh, that was wicked good. Is that what you guys say? You do now. I'm sure you do. Yet the real meaning of the word wicked is evil or guilty. There are two types of people, this psalm says. Those that are in a relationship with God and those who aren't. This is kind of like what our last doctrine talks about. We believe in the immortality of the soul, in the resurrection of the body, in the general judgment at the end of the world, in the eternal happiness of the righteous, and in the endless punishment of the wicked. Yeah, I know. Pretty strong, isn't it? Pretty strong. In other words, when it's all said and done, at the end of time, there's going to be those that are in a relationship with God in heaven and those who aren't. There are those who aren't who will be in hell. In short, this doctrine says, we believe in heaven and hell. If we want to sum that doctrine up like that, it's basically what it's saying. Now, the truth of the matter is, there's lots of people who choose not to have a relationship with God. Yet they are decent people. They're not the type that we would classify as wicked or evil. Yet their lives still would be better if they had a spiritual connection and a relationship with God. We need to remember that there are eternal consequences to turning our back on God. So this morning, let's have a look at the two type of people that this psalm talks about. First of all, we have the person who is blessed. The first line of this psalm in other translations says, "Oh, the happiness of the person." I think we would all like to be happy. Our doctrine talks about the eternal happiness of the righteous. Happiness brings joy. This passage in Psalm goes on to say that the person who is blessed, who is happy, is happy because they keep sensible company. They don't seek advice from evil people or hang around with the wrong crowd that pulls others apart. You know, it's one of life's truths that we become like those we spend our time with. That's why people who want to learn a trade spend time with a tradie. If you want to become a teacher, you study teaching. If you want to learn to drive, you don't go driving with me, do you, Emma? There's a chorus that says, "To be like Jesus, this hope possesses me. In every thought and deed, this is my aim, my creed." If we want to be like Jesus, we need to spend time with him. The other reason the blessed are blessed is because instead of them looking in the wrong direction, they're looking into God's law. Not just looking into the Bible and God's law, but delighting in it. They're reading their Bible and delighting in it. You know, it can take a while to really delight in reading the Bible. To get to the point of delighting in God's word takes time. There'll be times when we read the Bible and it confuses us. There'll be times when we read the Bible and we feel like we're being judged. There'll be times when we read the Bible and we're offended by what it says. This comes down to where we are in our own life at that time. You know, there's a reason why we encourage people when they first become believers to read the gospel stories and not Leviticus and Numbers. You know, some passages in the Bible are a lot easier to understand, a lot easier to find joy in. If our relationship with God isn't right, we can easily be offended by what the Bible has to say because it will challenge our heart. The Word, the law, points out ways of living that by their very nature keeps the follower out of trouble. There has to be a blessing in following the law of the Lord. I think many of us, if not all of us, can testify to having a better life since reading the Bible, since being in a relationship with God, since putting his word into practice. You know, Jesus summed up the law in these words. He said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And love your neighbors as yourself." We see that delighting in the law brings a well-nourished life. The psalmist tells us this about the one who delights in the law. In Psalm 1, verse 3, "They are like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaves do not wither. Whatever they do prospers." The picture itself is of a tree that is well watered, that at the right time brings forth fruit. and doesn't have to be concerned about a lack of water in dry times. It doesn't wither. By delighting in the law, spending time in the Word of God, we can be assured of our relationship with God. There's often a word that's used particularly in the Pentecostal churches, prosperity. You know, and people talk about this prosperity gospel. But our prosperity comes through our knowing with certainty our place in God's plan. We prosper by bringing forth fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, and the fruit of increase, having sown seeds into the life of others. There's no need to be concerned about that we may wither as long as we stay by the stream, the life-giving water that is the Word of God. Jesus said this of the waters of Jacob's well in the story of the Samaritan woman. He says, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." I don't believe it's possible to prosper any more than gaining heavenly eternal life. By delighting in the law of the Lord, in the Word of God, we can be assured that our relationship with God is solid. But there's also those that turn their back on God. Those who take their advice from evil people. Or as our doctrine points it out so bluntly, those who have the endless punishment of the wicked. From the Olympics, I've read some really sad stuff over the years. You hear reports about... And this is just an example. It's not picking on this particular sport. There's a report about a swimmer and a gold medal swimmer whose own mother said they had no time for any other relationships besides swimming. The cyclist who deliberately crashed so they could get a restart and went on to win the gold medal. The badminton players who threw games deliberately. Or just recently, the soccer team whose coaches have been sent home from these Olympics because they were spying on the opposition. It leaves me wondering. Yep, great it must be to have a gold medal. But credibility is worth so much more. You can have as many gold medals as you like and still in the eternal scheme of things blow away like chaff. The crop, the useful nutrients, the seeds for the next crop are all taken away. Yet all that remains is the waste. To be blown away in the wind, swept up or burnt as waste. What a picture. The choices we make. People can waste their time in meaningless relationships. People who can waste their time that only brings ruin and judgment upon themselves. Waste their opportunities for growth and nourishment. Waste their opportunities for a relationship that they could have had with God. It's such a sad waste. I think the psalmist looks at these people with sadness. I think God himself is sad at their choices. They've missed the possibility to stand in judgment at the assembly with a right relationship before God. An all-round sad picture compared to those that are blessed. The last verse of this psalm is a verse that actually fills me with great hope. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Great if we have a right relationship with our Heavenly Father. He looks over us and the path we are treading. We are living a life in a relationship, because we are living a life in a relationship with God, our Creator. But it goes on to say, but the path of the wicked will perish. And this is the bit that brings me great hope. You see, some people may read this verse as saying that as a way of condemning people for doing the right thing, that wicked people will perish and be destroyed both physically and spiritually. But I see this as a verse of hope, that when we turn to God, the old path of wickedness is destroyed and a new path has started. My hope rests in the fact that many have been on this path of the wicked and they have encountered Jesus along the way. They have moved from the wide path of destruction to the narrow path that leads to life. The path that was leading to destruction has now been terminated. The old race has been cancelled. And we are now walking a path, running a new race that builds us up, where we receive joy and nourishment in the Word of God, and our relationship with Him is solid. Now, I know there are people here that have committed to that narrow path, who are walking, running in the joy of the Lord. I also know that there are others that have started this journey only to find that they continue to be caught up in the way of their past. Well, there are still others who want to start that journey but have not yet started. There are others who want to start that journey that leads to life. The two word pictures we get from this psalm are a challenge. We can be in a relationship with God, or we can be out of a relationship with God. We can be a well-watered tree, or we can be like chaff blown away by the wind. We can be blessed and happy, or we can be perishing. We can be eternally prospering or not. So this morning, the challenge for us all is, will our hope be found in Christ alone? Will our hope be built on Him? This morning for us all, the choice is ours. But I want to encourage us all not to leave here this morning without taking a step in the right direction. Will you be a well-watered tree? Or will you be blown away in the wind? Let's pray. Lord, I pray for each one of us. Lord, and I pray that our hope would be found in You, that we would be nurtured and rooted in You. Lord, that we would be like a well-watered tree, where our roots are deeply connected to You. Lord, where we are delighting in Your Word, where we are spending time building and nurturing our relationship with You. Lord, where we are prospering, knowing our eternal reward is found in You. Lord, I pray for our friends and our family that don't know You. Lord, and I pray that we would be able to plant seeds in their life that would flourish. Lord, that we would be able to plant seeds in their life that come and bring life to them. Lord, each one of us, and You are not, Lord, don't want people to face that. We want people to be in a relationship with You. Lord, we want our friends and family to know You. So, Lord, help us speak words of life into their life. Holy Spirit, just now in this moment of reflection, as we pause, Lord, we want to bring to you names of people, Lord, friends and family. In this silent moment, Lord, we raise these names to you and ask, Lord, that you would break through in their lives. Lord, that you would reveal yourself to them. Lord, that you would stir their hearts in a way that would bring about transformation in their lives. So right now, Lord, in these moments of silence, we bring their names to you. Holy Spirit, break through in their lives, we pray. This we ask in your name. Amen. But let me leave you with a benediction from Romans 15. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord.